Good morning. Morning. Grace, mercy, and peace, these are God's gifts to you now and always through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, our Lord and our Savior. Well, it's a strange Sunday. That might not put you off, but how about these next ones? With strange people at a strange church, focused on the strange message of a strange man, John the Baptist. All of this because we have a strange faith. Well, let's take those one in order. Strange Sunday. Blue, blue, pink, and then blue again, and then white. That's always been strange to me since I was about your age, Esther, and I first noticed it. I thought, what is going on? Can we fix this? Well, it's a tradition. It's a tradition that's been handed down. The idea was this. With some of our older brothers and sisters in centuries and centuries and even Christian millennia gone past, was that in this season of waiting, this season of repentance, that we would have a Sunday where we could kind of come up for breath and kind of touch joy, focus on joy. We can't see it right here, but the flag by the pink candle there actually says joy. And so this is the Joy Sunday, or in Latin, Gaudete Sunday. And the idea is just that. In our season of waiting, we would take a pause and not despair and go forward. Well, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know that I knew that I needed this Sunday of joy. I'd still like to fix it, blue, 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 pink, white. I'd still like to do that, but I suppose if I think of these cold days and these long, dark hours, I'll remember that I have a way to overcome both. I turn up the switch on the heat. I turn up the switch on the lights. And my waiting maybe isn't as hard as some of my brothers and sisters who came before me. With dark nights, long, dark nights, and cold days where you're fighting it all. And so maybe I have a little bit of empathy for those older brothers and sisters that they created this tradition. Or maybe some of us are here, have been waiting, 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 and we're nearly despairing. And so to us comes a Sunday of joy. So let's lean into it, I suppose, and let's see if it is a good Sunday of joy on this strange Sunday. Well, how about the next one? Strange people. Strange people. Now, before you get too miffed at me, Nikki, I mean, how did this group of people come to be? Would we have chosen each other here in even this small town? And the emphatic answer actually is no. We wouldn't have. And we didn't. We didn't choose each other. But God has chosen us together. He's brought us together. And so I guess our gathering in that way is strange because all the other gatherings of my life, if I have anything to do with it, are of my own choosing. And if they're not, I look to graduate from them, move beyond them, and come right back to what I just said, a gathering of my choosing. To be with my people or no people at all, but let it be my choice. But again, we are here not by our own choosing. And we're a strange lot. We love each other. We grow in love for each other in this place. And yet, outwardly, our love for each other fails, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just we don't have opportunity to act on it for about 6 days of the week. Or maybe even having been given the opportunity, we don't act on it 6 days of the week. But here we are again. We love each other, and yet our love for each other even is fickle. And yet in this place, where we bring our fickle love, have you noticed this? We don't crucify each other over that. That'd be kind of grounds for divorce of sorts in any other sphere of life. But we don't crucify each other because the crucifying has been done, hasn't it? Right? The crucifixion was coming our way, and yet another took it. And so we're a strange people here with strange love for each other. Nor are we some sort of hippy-dippy commune, right? We neither crucify each other, nor are we some sort of strange commune, but our love grows, it fails, and yet love is what we have, even if we are not the authors of it. Strange Sunday, strange people, strange church. A small, quiet church, quieter even this Sunday than some Sundays. I'll say this, and I want to be careful saying this, but I'll go ahead and say it. Strange little church with a questionable reputation. Have you bumped into some people who say, oh, I used to go to that church? Yeah, they did. They did. Not because of maybe anything any of us did here, but things that happened in yesteryear or in their lives, a questionable reputation. Of course, we question small things. We question weak things. Maybe even also we want to kind of have a white blood cell attack towards such small and weak things. For we're not the most happening church in the valley, are we? We could point to them. Maybe we pass some of them on the way here. I know Scott gets upset some Sundays. He's like, why are there so many cars in that church parking lot and not our church parking lot? A strange little church we have here. Again, many days of the week, not much happening, but the lights are on, the heat is pumping. And I'm told that the faucet and sink in the women's restroom has been fixed, right? And these things are good. And after having said all this, now we come to a strange gospel text about a strange man focused on John the Baptist. Well, the locust and the wild honey man has been absent from our gospel texts for some time. He's been absent, but here he is again. And I realized the context that I was working with all week, and even as much as I read the gospel reading, it wasn't until I'd read it to you just now that I realized that the context actually was missing there, and maybe I should have brought it, is that John is sitting in prison. Did you catch that? He's sitting in prison. And this is his imprisonment that ultimately is going to lead to his beheading. Boy, what a life this guy lived, right? He's got a famous cousin, or a cousin who's famous in the making, and yet he lives like a wild man in the desert with a coarse robe on, eating locusts and honey. He is unrefined, he is unwild, and yet the people go out to meet him. And now he's been absent for a while, but he comes back into the story, and he's in prison. Here again, a few verses. Our text was long. We're not going to do all the text this morning, but here again, a few verses. And so the disciples of John, probably some of those he's baptized, he's brought the good news to, the disciples of John reported all these things to him in prison. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord because he could not go to the Lord, saying, are you the one to come? If I could stretch that out a bit. Are you the one to come, Jesus, or are you not the one to come? Or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to Jesus, they said just that. John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, in that very hour, you could say, Jesus, before the crowds, even before John's disciples, healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he said to them, go now that you've seen this, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. That very hour, those words ring in my ears. That very hour, the disciples see Jesus do miracles, and that very hour, John sits still in prison. That very hour, there are miracles for some and even many, and that very hour, there was no miracle for John. Some have suggested, some commentators, some theologians, some pastors, that John was in prison and he was doing just fine, and that he sent his disciples to Jesus as a lesson for those disciples. It seems that these pastors, these theologians, these commentators are trying to insulate John the Baptist from being a struggling John the Baptist. I call BS on that. Bologna sandwich, of course, right? Bologna sandwich. John was like all of God's servants. And that way, John is very much like you and me. He's real. He's human. He is a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips. And yet God has taken his lips and cleansed them so that he might proclaim the good news to other people. That's an image from Isaiah, another Sunday, another text. But Isaiah says just that, Lord, how will you use me? For I am unclean. And God makes his lips clean so that he can share with other people. I call bologna sandwich. Rather, John was real. He was human. He was sinful. He was vacillating. He was struggling. And he was even doubting and questioning there in prison. Jesus, I've read the Old Testament. It talks about the very things that you're doing, about the deaf hearing, about the mute speaking, the lepers being cleaned, the dead rising. And the Old Testament even talks about the prisoners being set free. Part of our introit today. And yet John sits in prison. John didn't send his two disciples as an object lesson for them. John sent his two disciples because he needed an answer. He needed help. He was struggling. And what does Jesus say? Give John this message. The blind do see, the lame do walk, the deaf do hear, the lepers are cleansed, many who are dead are raised up, and the poor are made rich. No, that's not what he said. For all the others, yes, there is a miracle for what ails them. But do you know a poor person who thinks they need good news? No. Those who are poor pray for riches. And yet Jesus says, the poor, all the poor have the good news preached to them. And that's when Jesus throws in that last little line, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, miracles happen sometimes, but not always. Not always. Here's Jesus healing many on this day, and this is the same Jesus who, I suppose sometime this next spring, on our road to the cross with him, we will find even this Jesus in the garden praying to God for a miracle. Lord, if there's any other way that you can remove this cup from me, do it. And yet the Father doesn't grant to Jesus a miracle. And this is John the Baptist, who now through his disciples is hearing about Jesus performing many miracles. He's heard the prophecies that they'll happen in the Old Testament. And this is John the Baptist also, who will not receive his own miracle. For only a little time from here, his imprisonment will lead to him being beheaded. And his head is not put back on, right? His life, at least in the here and now, is not given back to him. Yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, miracles happen sometimes, but always, always, there is good news for the poor. Strange Sunday, strange people, strange church, strange John the Baptist, and now how about we close with a strange faith? Our faith is always about news. As I thought about that this week, I thought, well, that's probably good news for this guy, because I'm actually addicted to news. But listen to this. Here's the type of news I'm addicted to. I'm addicted to bad news. Out there, far away places. The further, the better. Have you heard what's happening in Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Syria, and Washington, D.C., even Sacramento, that's far enough away. But I don't really want to talk about the bad news maybe in my own town. No, that's probably not true. I'll do that too, as long as it's somebody else's bad news. I really, though, don't want to talk about the bad news in my own home. and I really, really don't want to tell you what I see in the mirror. I'm addicted to news, bad news out there. I think probably we all are to some degree or another. But if we were to look in the mirror, what would we find? We would find the poor. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. And so I avoid being like John. Or when I do find myself like John, imprisoned, not just from forces out there, but imprisoned by my very own sin, I tend to despair. If only I could send messengers then to Jesus to say, Jesus, what about me? What about this? What about now? What about here? I could send those messengers out and they would come back and we would hear about this strange faith again, that at times the lame walk, at times the deaf hear, at times the leper's skin is made clean, but always, always, good news comes to the poor. It comes breaking in. A promise of God's gracious intervention. News of a child conceived, news of a birth to come, news of a life and signs and wonders and words and preaching and proclamation. News of Jesus himself in the garden going to God, asking, is there another way? But behold, there is no other way. And so news of a death, news of a glorious resurrection. And then news of God's promises made, new promises made, in fact, new promises that God now makes to you and me. And we can trust in these promises because we see of the old promises having been fulfilled. And you know, I've been blessed in my life to see some of this good news preached to the poor before. I was thinking about this, so let me share two stories with you. One comes from 23 or 24 years ago. I'm a student pastor for a year in Chicago. I get to know a dear older saint by the name of Hertha Hill. And then Hertha goes into the hospital. The pastor's been visiting her. Now the pastor sends me, the student pastor, to go visit Hertha Hill in the hospital. I arrive to the hospital. I hear from the nurses that Hertha is hours, maybe days at best, from dying. I'm free to go into her, but she is gone, they say. The leukemia has taken all. She can't hear. She can't talk. And I go into that room where there's Hertha in the bed. No family even by her bedside, and I find the gruesome nature of leukemia, at least in this saint, which is she is gone, non-responsive, and now she's even starting to bleed from her eyes and her ears, and it's a gruesome sight for a young student pastor. And so I talk to her as if she were there, and then I tell her, I'm going to pray for you, and I pray. And then I start saying the Lord's Prayer, and Hertha starts saying the Lord's Prayer with me. Even as her life was leaving through her ears, the word of God, the good news of a father, we have been reconciled through the death and resurrection of his son, came into her ears, and the life that God had once given her was still there in her. And she enjoys that life today. Or I can think just but 10 years ago in Western Michigan, going to visit Elsie Bear, another elderly saint. She had been in a nursing home, assisted living, and now she was taken to more acute care. And I went in to see her one day, you know, in the type of nursing home you don't like to go to because the smells, for one, aren't good. The sounds aren't great. And I go in to find Elsie, and she's rocking back and forth. And she's saying over and over again, I don't know where I am. I want to go home. I don't know where I am. I want to go home. And much the same with Elsie, I give her a weak devotion, weak insofar as it needed me. But we got to the prayers, and she joined me in the prayers again. think I may have said a song, and suddenly she was there, sharp as ever, singing with me. And by the time I left, some peace had washed over her. Always there is good news for the poor. Or I could think to some of the kids in the room, have you read any of the Narnia books? Esther, I wondered about you. Probably your brothers too. Maybe some of the rest of us. In Narnia, it's winter. The White Witch has taken hold of so much. There's little to hope about, but now there's whispers in Narnia. And the one whisper that came to mind this week is this. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he has already landed. News through the ear comes to us, the poor, always. Sometimes the miracles, always the good news. And so let me this day, as we are in Advent, on the joy-filled Sunday in our journey towards Christmas, let me this Sunday preach some good news to your ears. You are forgiven and free on account of Christ alone. You are his baptized people. He has adopted you. Today he feeds you again with his very body and blood to strengthen you and to bind this strange cohort of people together again. You are comforted. You are remembered every day of the week. Maybe not by all your brothers and sisters here, for we are fickle and weak, but by your God and Father who loves you always and every day through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Therefore, today is a pink candle sort of day. It is a day of rejoicing. Therefore, we listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Aslan is on the move, Paul says. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will come into your ears again and will guard your hearts and your minds now and always in Christ Jesus, your Lord. It will always be strange news, but it is our good news. It is our news of salvation now and always. And God's people say together, amen.